Hey there, I'm Melanie Reed, and this is the HR Mentor. Do you love the fall? I know a lot of people say it's their favorite season, and I'm definitely on that train. There is just something so warm, comforting, and inviting about this time of year. And as much as I love my summer dresses with sandals, I love that fall allows us to cover up in sweaters, hoodies, and with blankets. I really hate being cold at any time of the year, so having a good reason to be bundled up suits me pretty well. I also really like reading and learning, which I've talked about many times before. So this whole idea of a fresh start with back to school also ticks all my boxes. Many people also see the fall as a time to make career moves. It's not often that people will want to change positions in the depth of summer vacation, and that usually works well because a lot of employers hold off until the fall months to advertise for new roles, mostly because they know that nobody's looking during July and August. The other thing that happens for university students is that semesters end in August and December. So this is often an active time of year for many of you to be seeking your first professional role. Whatever your reason or your career goal, you may find yourself currently in the depths of a job search, maybe looking for a promotion, or even thinking about getting started with either of those. If that sounds like you, or you just want to learn more about how you can prepare for either scenario, then this episode's for you. Today, I'm going to share some specific steps that you can take to prepare yourself for your HR job search, either to achieve a promotion, a different HR role, or to land your first HR role. Because as I've talked about before on this podcast, most people start in the wrong place and space with a job search or career change, and then they don't get the results that they want or that they hope for. Finding a really great role or that first role might take a bit of time, but it's not difficult once you know what to do and you take the necessary steps. So if you want to get started on the right foot in the perfect season, we should get started.
Welcome to the HR Mentor Podcast, the podcast for emerging HR practitioners to get practical advice, tools, and strategies to build credibility, confidence, and ultimately a fulfilling HR career.
All right, let's get into this. You know I love my steps and checklists, and this episode has both. I have 7 steps that are in my mind all necessary in order to have a successful and less frustrating job search experience. They also need to happen in a specific order to deliver the best results. And because I feel that these steps need to happen in a specific order to give you the best opportunity, I also created a really lovely checklist you can download to help you when you're ready to start your job search. You can find it on my website at www.unicorngroup.ca/episode-41. You may even want to grab it before you listen so that you can take notes or follow along. Okay, so the 7 steps to follow to kick off your HR job search or prepare for it are 1, know yourself. 2, know your work and life preferences. 3, identify your location target. 4, identify your role target. 5, prepare your package, which includes your resume, cover letter, LinkedIn profile. 6, prepare or build on your HR network. And 7, get engaged. Okay, let's talk about each one really quickly. The first one, know yourself. For those of you who are regular listeners or who have followed me for a little while, you may have heard this from me before, but it cannot be overstated. If you don't know yourself really, really well, it's going to be super tough to figure out the types of roles you should be seeking and where you're going to be at your happiest and most fulfilled in your career. This is especially important if you're looking for a more advanced role or a promotion or lateral move. If you already have an HR role, but have decided it's time to move on to something bigger, better, or just something different, then you really want to make sure you're moving on to something that will actually deliver on that. And if you don't know yourself really well, how the heck can you decide that? Now, before I get into how you can get to know yourself, if you're in the situation where you already have an HR job and you're contemplating leaving, but you're not 100% sure why or if you even should, pause this episode and go download episode number 38 of the HR Mentor. In this one, I dissect the question, is it really time to go? Yes, it may be time to move on to a new desk and fresh faces, but you owe it to yourself to make sure before you give up all the great things you have where you are right now. The grass isn't always greener, so it's good to do a little double check on this. But if you've already done that, or you're looking for your first HR gig, then your first stop is a nice long gaze in the mirror. Not literally, though I'm sure you're beautiful and you should be admired daily. But what I want you to do is figuratively look at yourself and what you have to offer a potential employer. And there are four aspects that I want you to do some discovery with. They're your strengths, your knowledge, your values, and your accomplishments. All four of these are important to uncover because individually, and in combination, they're a unique selling point that you can leverage when you're promoting yourself to potential employers. They can be included on resumes and cover letters, and they can be spoken about during interviews and reference checks. But beyond that, they're also really important indicators to you about the types of opportunities you should pursue. And they can help you identify your target job and industry or organization. Now, you can approach this in different ways, but I do recommend that you do more than just think about these four areas. You're much better off actually putting pen to paper or fingers to a keyboard and writing about each of these four. I'm going to talk for a minute about your strengths and how you can help identify those. Your strengths are what you are really good at. Makes sense. Often our strengths become our strengths because we have natural abilities or talent, or because we enjoy them, we spend more time on them, and thus we get really good at them. Our strengths are not something we just wake up with one day, but rather they become strengths over time. For example, one of my strengths is visioning, looking at the future. I'm really good at taking a problem or a challenge, imagining a new and better future or way of doing something, and creating a strategy as to how you can move from point A to point B, the current state to the future vision state. And while it feels very natural to me to do this now, it wasn't always the case. Over time, doing more and more of this, it's become a strength of mine and something I really enjoy. When I've worked in roles where I didn't get to analyze or present things or strategies at that level, I found myself frustrated. So now I work on projects or in roles where I have a lot of time to vision and I'm respected for what I offer in that area. Your strengths might be completely different than mine. Maybe your strengths are related to building relationships with people. Maybe your strengths are organizing information, or perhaps rallying people to a common goal or achievement. Whatever they are, they're unique to you, and you will be happier working in roles that allow you to use them. Yes, people can overcome their weaknesses to a point. But wouldn't you rather work in a space where you're using what you're really good at? I know I am. Now, You can discover your strengths by thinking about experiences you felt you excelled in or roles you excelled in, and think about what made you successful in those experiences or spaces. You can also ask other people what they see as your strengths. Friends, family, and classmates are all good sources of intel. You could also ask a former boss or your current supervisor what they think your strengths are. You could also take an assessment, like the Gallup Strengths Assessment, and learn what your top five strengths are and read more about them. This is one of the things that I've done and built on over the last few years, and I find it really helpful. You can find a link to the website where you can take this assessment in the show notes of this episode, which is at www.unicorngroup.ca/episode-41. I don't have any affiliation with the organization. I don't get a commission or anything. I just find that it works really well, and their reports are really self-explanatory. So you don't need to have any kind of sophisticated interpretation of it. Whatever method you use, I just want you to make note of what you feel your strengths are and what you discovered, however you went about that. Then I want you to take a bit of an inventory of your key knowledge. And if you're pursuing a role in HR, which I'm assuming you are if you're listening to this podcast, you can do this quite easily by visiting your CPHR Association website and downloading the Professional Competencies Framework. Review all of them and highlight the ones that you feel the most knowledgeable of. Then go back and see which areas of HR you have the most highlights in. They're categorized by different focus areas of HR, and that will help you see which functional areas of HR, which aspects of HR you might have the most knowledge of. You could also think back on your HR studies, if they weren't that long ago, and think about the courses you did the best in and gained the most knowledge from. Chances are you learned the most on a particular topic because you were interested in it. So that's also a good thing to note. Look, HR is a diverse career, so there are a lot of different paths you can take and knowledge areas you can explore. So don't feel bad if there's an area you don't feel as confident in. This exercise is about figuring out what you don't know. It's about figuring out what you know the best and the most and have the most interest in. So it's pretty normal to have gaps. And you can't be the smartest person on every topic. That's just reality. But you can learn about areas you don't have as much knowledge in if you're interested in them and or if you need to learn more about them. The most important thing you can do is just write down the areas you have discovered that you have the most knowledge of. And then consider also any areas outside of HR that you have knowledge of. This could come from other studies you've done, other roles or work experience you have, and even though it may not be directly related to human resources, this knowledge could help you get your foot in the door in an HR job in a specific industry or organization, and it could help you feel more satisfied if it's an area of interest. For example, maybe you previously studied information technology, and you really loved it, but perhaps you also liked interacting with people, so pursued a career in HR. Well, HR analytics has the best of both worlds. You're dealing with data, but you're also taking data and translating it for people in order to help them make better business decisions. Maybe that's the perfect match for you. So think about other areas of HR as well as your HR knowledge and jot down where you feel you have the most or you feel the most comfortable. Now, the third aspect of knowing yourself is one I've talked about many, many times on this podcast, in my newsletter, on social media, and that's knowing your values. I can't stress enough how important this is to career satisfaction and also matching yourself up with an organization or a role. Because our values are guiding principles for our life, they can have a huge impact on our satisfaction and our happiness. If you think about values from the perspective of a relationship, maybe think about a relationship you had with someone that wasn't awesome, chances are there was probably a values disconnect. So I think this is super important. And if you haven't done it already, I have an episode of this podcast. It's episode 3, and also a freshly renewed worksheet that will help you identify what your core values are. If you have another process or you feel like you already know what they are, that's great. Just also make note of them so that you can use that for some of the future steps in the process that I'm talking about today. Accomplishments are another area of self-knowledge that can provide valuable clues to a possible target role, as well as be a selling feature for your communication with potential employers. I love to see accomplishments listed on someone's resume or highlighted in a cover letter in a way that tells me, as the recruiter or the hiring manager, that this candidate can deliver on what I'm looking for. For example, let's say one of your accomplishments is designing a new HR program for employees that maybe reduce turnover or absenteeism. When I see something like that, I can reason that you know how to develop an HR program that addresses a specific employee challenge, that you understand metrics and how to identify and measure them, and that you aren't afraid of a big challenge. A single accomplishment, when explored a little bit, can reveal a lot about a candidate. And identifying at least one of these for each of your roles and listing them separately can help you stand out in the crowd of other candidates. Accomplishments can also provide clues as to the type of roles or organizations you might want to pursue. If you feel particularly proud and satisfied when you overcame something big in a previous position, that might indicate that roles with more complex problems rather than routine work might be more suitable for you. If you don't see that as an accomplishment, but a frustration, then maybe that's not the best fit. Or if you feel like one of your greatest accomplishments was setting up a detailed and efficient new filing system, maybe a role where you get to organize information or create systems is a great fit for you. Regardless, list anything you feel might be an accomplishment. And you can approach this either by going through all of your work history and looking at each of your roles, or you can do it on a life timeline and see what's revealed to you. I often recommend people do this in periods of 5 years. So if you look back at the last 5 years, what did you accomplish? And the 5 years before that. And write down as many things as you can. Don't be too judgmental about what should be an accomplishment. It doesn't have to be something that's perceived as major to someone else, because you're really doing this to try and uncover what you see as your accomplishments. Okay, now that you know yourself really well, the next step is to know your work and life preferences. Now, this might sound a little bit strange at first, but in order for you to be satisfied, you need to know what type of work situations are going to be the most appealing to you. And this really has a lot to do with your lifestyle preferences. I want you to think about where you are in your life right now. What are deal breakers when it comes to work and life intersecting? For example, if you have a young child at home and are a single parent without family support, perhaps a role where you have to travel out of town is not going to work at all for you. So make a note of that and don't pursue roles that have that at the core of their work schedule. What about your work team? Do you want to have a team, or are you better at working independently? For me, I like having a team around to bounce ideas off and to collaborate with. One of my values is connection, so that's pretty darn important to me. But for someone else, they may like the independence of being the only HR person. If that's the case, make a note of that. And when you identify your work targets, that should really factor in. You should also think about your willingness to commute, your hours of work, and development opportunities. At this point in your career, is it more important to you to get the best mentoring and learning opportunities? If so, your choices will be different than someone more established. This is a little bit about making sacrifices and trade-offs as well. I recommend you approach this by listing all of the lifestyle preferences you have in terms of how you spend your time, who you spend it with, where you go each day, and then rank them in terms of importance or your willingness to sacrifice or trade it off for something else you want. If a lifestyle preference is non-negotiable, say the example of travel when you have a young child, then that should have the biggest impact on your targets. So once you've done a bit of a brainstorm about your lifestyle and work preferences, the third step is to identify your location target. Now, this can stem a lot from the previous step and how your work and lifestyle preferences shake out. Once you know who you are and what your work and life preferences are, think about all the places you are willing and maybe not willing to live or travel to for work. Now, I want to share a bit of a caveat here. Keep in mind that if you're new to your career, being open to more locations is always better because it increases the number of opportunities you are potentially exposed to. But if for some reason there's a place you will absolutely not live or travel to, make a note of that and also highlight places it would be the easiest and most affordable for you to live. Maybe you have a family member in Prince George and you never considered working there before or living there. But if you had a family member to stay with and a great opportunity came up that could possibly really kickstart your HR career or take it to the next level, you might consider it. I've had students move all over the province and in fact across the country for great opportunities. And those people not willing to move miss out on them. So capture all your thoughts on a target location until you narrow down your top choices. I would say start with your top three choices if you have that many options and begin your job search there. Now, once you have some location ideas, the fourth step in this process or preparation is to identify your target role. Now, this takes a bit of trial and error, and it requires you to look back on all the work you've done so far, all this brainstorming. Start with your Know Yourself information and look for themes that might be emerging when you combine your values, strengths, knowledge, and accomplishments. I'll take myself for example. Two of my core values are impact and connection. I also have a strength in delivering information, sharing knowledge, or training others, and making connections between ideas. And finally, I have a really good broad knowledge of most, if not all, functional areas of HR, simply because I have a lot of experience as a generalist and in different specialty areas. So pursuing a full-time teaching role, considering all of those factors, was really a natural fit for me. I loved my temporary teaching roles. One of my biggest accomplishments was teaching my first sessional contract at the university while I was still a master's student and a full-time HR generalist, and having two young kids at home. And for now, I'm married to Kamloops because of my children, and I love living here. Now, that might seem like too easy of an example because I'm already in that role, but it shows you how these ideas and preferences and knowing yourself can connect to help you figure out a target role to pursue. Education is also really important to me, so working for an organization that delivers that or offers that fits really well. And it's completely okay to have more than one target role at a time. It's pretty normal, especially in HR, when there's so many choices of career paths. You may decide right now, based on your knowledge and experience and strengths, that a coordinator level role is perfect for you. But you also know that you're interested in both recruitment and training and development. So you might write down coordinator or assistant roles in both those areas of HR. Everyone's path and preferences is going to be unique to them, And that's perfect. That's how it should be. The most important thing you do is determine what that path is for you. So once you've done some thinking around this, maybe done some highlighting on the previous work you did, write down what you think might be great target roles for you. Next, we are going to get into the step that most people rush to start with in their job search. And that's putting together all the materials and information you will use to promote yourself to potential employers. I really recommend holding off on updating your resume and LinkedIn profile, writing a cover letter, and even reaching out for informational interviews until you've done the work on the first four steps of this process. Because once you have that information, preparing these resources to help promote yourself to potential employers and make connections is so much easier. When you know where you're willing to live and work, the types of organizations and roles you would be best suited for and the happiest in, you will know exactly what is important to put in these documents and promotional materials for communication. This information will also help you prepare for interviews and talking about yourself. Going into an interview already knowing what your greatest accomplishment is, how your values align with your pursuit of that particular company or role, and how your strengths can help benefit the organization is really going to have you knocking the socks off the interview panel. I have a few past episodes of the HR Mentor that can also help you with aspects of this step. I want you to check out episode 37, Communicate Your HR Brand, episode 4, How to Market Yourself for Job Search Success, and episode 5, Be Prepared and Ace the Interview, for some more detailed guidance as well as some helpful worksheets you can download. Now, once you've got all your materials ready, the sixth step is to work on building your HR network to support this new direction for yourself. Whether you are pursuing your first role or an HR promotion or career change, your network is your best friend. And now that you know your target, it's easy to identify who you should reach out to for more information and support. Use the informational interview process to learn more about your target role or industry, as well as gather intel about the locations you're willing to live in. You can follow my informational interview process in episode 8, The Importance of Making Connections, to learn more about how you can approach this. I honestly can't tell you how many times I have personally been offered new opportunities through my network. In fact, I had one last night with an unexpected phone call, and how many times other HR professionals have told me they obtained a new opportunity through someone they know. Honestly, it works. That's why people like myself keep recommending it. And once you start making those connections, then you can get into the final step, which is to really engage. I want you to treat your job search or career change with the level of importance it deserves. You deserve to have a role and work experience that makes you feel satisfied, happy, and fulfilled. So take the time and do the work necessary to discover exactly what that is and where you might find it. No, I can't guarantee that what you want is out there at the price you expect to get it at in the location you want. But I can promise that following these steps, blocking time out each day to put some effort into your self-awareness, development, and career search are going to make the likelihood of that happening much greater. And once you've completed all these steps, you can start to search job boards, set up LinkedIn career alerts, and research organizations that might have what you're looking for. And remember, rejection is a normal part of the process. So do what you need to do to manage that and support your well-being along the way. Your future self will thank you when you are enjoying the view from your brand new desk. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the HR Mentor and for being a part of my career journey. I'm truly grateful to have you along the way with me and for sharing your love through LinkedIn and Apple Podcasts. And if you haven't yet subscribed, click the button wherever you're listening today. You can also make sure that you don't miss out on anything new or exciting in my HR world and sometimes my personal world by subscribing to my weekly newsletter. I promise you, you won't get a bunch of spam from me, just awesome HR career content. And you can find a link to sign up for that in the show notes of this episode, as well as a summary and links to all of the other episodes I've talked about here today at www.unicorngroup.ca/episode-41. As always, thank you so much for being here. Take care. Bye for now.